in doing this, I figured the way to do it is I'm just gonna ask myself a series of questions and sort of answer them. And I'm gonna try to begin and end with the same question and do some others in between it. And the question I wanna begin with and end with is, can you believe it? Can you believe it? Can you believe that we have a chairman of the Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce who gave an introduction to the mayor's state of the city address to a chamber audience that told lie after lie about your council majority, and the media never questioned the truth of his statements? Can you believe it? Can you believe that we have a mayor who gave a state of the city address and pretty much agreed with everything that that chairman said in his attack, but now says he didn't mean to give the appearance that he agreed with that chairman? Can you believe it? I can't believe it either. Can you believe that the same chamber chairman, Bob Poe, he named names, I'm gonna name names too. He accused me by name in front of the press club of, quote, using jackbooted tactics that went out of style in the 1930s or 40s Nazi Germany. Can you believe it? This strikes me as especially ironic while Mr. Poe is performing an active role in a tactic that was developed by Adolf Hitler's propaganda minister, Joseph Goebbels, known as the big lie, which is you just keep telling the same lie over and over and eventually it sticks. Can you believe it? Can you believe they said that we said we wanted to shut off the water to the suburbs when we never said it, never said it? Can you believe it? Can you believe Mr. Poe said we were cutting off, costing the city $10,000 a day by trying to be fair to Peggy Jones to make sure that we saw the appraisals on which they were basing her case? And we just wanted to see the appraisals, and for 1 month they wouldn't give it to us, but we finally got it, and that was supposed to be our fault. Can you believe it? Can you believe that we're being accused by the Tulsa World editorial pages of meddling in things that we have no business? Meddling in things like approving the appointment of mayoral appointments, in questioning budget changes, in clarifying and strengthening through ordinance the commission tasked with overseeing economic development and spending Tulsa's hotel-motel tax, which is what you as the voters empowered us to do. It's not meddling, but they say it is. Can you believe it? We not only have a duty to do this, folks, or a right to do it, we have a duty to do it. And I'm hoping that's going to be the rhetoric out of me, because we needed to answer that rhetoric. And I want to be positive as much as I can from this point, but when somebody is doing the attack on me and my fellow counselors right now and saying our motivations are not what our motivations are, I'm lying about what we supposedly said when we never said it, then I can't believe that, and I'll come back to that question in a second. So, thank you. So what is the state of this city that we all love? The state of our city is promising, but there are some problems. The state of our city is that for better or worse, sales tax revenues are the lifeblood of this city. That's what the state allows us to use. And the state of our city is that our sales tax receipts that began to decline at the start of the decade are not rebounding fast enough to keep up with our basic needs and public safety and basic infrastructure. The state of our city is that retail sales permits, building permits, were down in fiscal year 2004 by nearly 70%, even after the citizens passed the Vision 2025 initiative. We're still going down. For better or worse, Tulsa is married to three independent school districts, Tulsa Public Schools, Union, and Jenks. The future health of our cities depends on the future health of these three school systems. And Tulsa needs to be doing what it can to benefit those school systems first, because our futures are tied to them. Just like what happens to people, Tulsa is entering into a new stage of life. We can no longer grow unimpeded to the southeast as we have. Our future now is one of being an urban environment and not a suburban growth. So we need to begin looking, the state of our city is that we need to be looking to policies that do not look for growth geographically, but look for growth in density. Why? Because it's cheaper to do that, it's more efficient to do that, and it is our destiny as it's been the destiny of cities before us. We can't ignore it. We need to change what we're doing, and we need to change what we're doing now. And that's the only thing that we're bringing up, is asking the questions about what change needs to occur, working together. We want to work together, and let's turn our city around. I have great hope we're going to be able to do that. Why is there a gang of five? I've been asked this a lot. The reason there's a gang of five is that we're united by some things, as Councilor Martino said, fairness. We're also united because we represent the five districts of this city that have been ignored for far too long in resources. When they say we're not standing up for our districts, they couldn't be more wrong. But we're standing up together. The man that just introduced me, Jack Henderson, is a liberal Democrat. I think he'll admit that. And I'm a conservative Republican. Republican, and people say they want bipartisan work together. If Jack and I, we're doing it, folks. We're doing it. And how can that be wrong? The Gang of Five is united by a belief in government that is open and honest and serves the people, all of the people, not just those in three zip codes. The Gang of Five is united in the idea that Tulsa needs a new approach that comes not just from the Chamber of Commerce, but from the people themselves. You. And not just, as I said, people from three zip codes. So, Councilor Medlock, why don't you want to sell water to the suburbs? Real simple answer. Never said it. Don't believe it. I haven't heard any of them ever say it. We're asking policy questions, which is what our job is. We're asking, and we're not getting very good answers about it, quite frankly. We're asking about who should build the lines themselves, Tulsa or the suburbs. We're asking the question, are we getting a fair rate of return? We used to charge 13.5%, now we're charging 10. We can't raise our tax rates. We shouldn't raise our taxes. As I said, I'm against tax increases. There's been a talk about a payroll tax in this town. Nothing would be worse. Not only would you push out the shopping and the sales tax dollars and the homes to the suburbs, you'd push the jobs out too. So we got to look at the resources that we have, and Tulsa built that water system. And I think it's only fair to ask the question, can't we get a little back in return on a market value price that's fair both to the suburbs and to us, that we can then take and distribute to pay for police and fire and better streets? We got the ninth worst streets in America, folks. Something's got to be done. And asking questions is not wrong. In 1988, we sold our water to wholesale customers, that's the suburbs, for $1.38 per 1,000 gallons. Today we sell it for $1.98 per 1,000 gallons. I went out on the Department of Labor statistics and found that the consumer price index multiplier from 1988 to 2004 to get to the same dollar figure says that today, just to keep up with inflation, instead of $1.98, we should be charging $2.56. Isn't that a fair question to ask, that we should at least be able to keep up with inflation? Questions come up, who are you to question the mayor and other leaders regarding their judgment and decisions? Quite simply put, we are you. We live in a republic, and for better or worse, we are the duly elected representatives representing our districts and representing our people. And guess what, folks? We have elections every 2 years. You don't like the job I'm doing, that's the time to tell me about it. Call me on the phone, let me know how I can do better, but ultimately, it's at election time. You don't talk about recall when people are doing their job. Why don't you simply approve everyone the mayor sends to you for approval on Tulsa's authorities, boards, and commissions? Because the charter says it's our job to vet them for conflicts of interests, to vet them to make sure they have the time to do the job. Vetting means we got to ask questions of them. It's not grilling them. I got accused of grilling somebody. I asked them four questions, including what do they do for a living and does that constitute a conflict of interest, and that was grilling. They don't want us asking questions because they don't want us saying no, because they just want that big rubber stamp given out. And people, I got elected in a special election, so I didn't come in with everybody else. If they gave out rubber stamps, to the counselors, I didn't get mine at the time. Counselor Medlock, why don't you support Vision 2025? Quite simply put, I do. I supported three of the four questions in Vision 2025, the three that passed. I didn't support Boeing because I didn't think we could afford more than a half cent at most. I didn't support Boeing because I don't believe in corporate welfare for people that are basically holding us hijacked. I didn't support Boeing because I believed you could take that same $250 million and give $1 million to 250 small businesses in Tulsa and do 10 times the good. But I support Vision 2025, including the arena. This should be a happy day. I'd like to be included in that. I plan to go to that arena and watch sporting events and concerts. The voters voted for it. The will of the voters was to approve it. But I'm telling you, 40% of you said no, 60% of you said yes, and the mayor likes to quote that a lot as if there's a mandate in there, but I'm one of those 60 that voted yes, and I said, I'm for it. But I also said, we're gonna watch every penny, make sure it's done right, make sure it's done the way it's promised, and when you paid for it, end the tax early, and it is not unfair to bring that up. It is not challenging vision if you're questioning, are you doing it right? And we're going to keep questioning. What needs to be done that isn't being done? This is a critical question because we have no legitimacy unless we talk about what needs to be done that isn't being done. First and foremost, we need to have a healthy and respectful conversation about tough issues. You don't need a 9-0 council. You don't need a unanimous council. Folks, if you're voting 9-0 instead of 5-4 and some things, you're not tackling the tough issues. Debate is good if it's respectful. Debate gets answers. Questions get answers. Answers lead to new policies and new ways of thinking. And that's good. That's what we are supposed to do. That's what I thought you elected me and my compatriots to do. What else needs to be done? We need to know our role. My role is not to be the mayor. My role is to be a counselor. My role is to ask more questions than I give answers. I said that I'm not doing anything that I didn't put in my campaign literature. It's in bullet points. I think a good counselor is weighed more by the questions you ask than the answers you propose. We're part-timers. I like to refer to this as Pop Warner politics. You know, it's politics with training wheels. You know, we don't have the staff of congressmen, but we're trying really hard, and we talk to you, and we talk to each other, and we try to formulate, and we've got to have that, and we've got to know our role, because one thing I have learned that is in a strong mayor form of government, which we have, you got to have a strong mayor, and you got to have a council that's willing to hold that mayor accountable. Yeah. Really important. Two things I've been trained in, and I'm going to go back to vision a little bit in my education. That's marketing and strategic planning. Vision 2025 was fantastically marketed and very poorly planned. And we need to do a whole lot more planning before we act. 20% of our time should be spent planning, and it should be done up front. Before you go and annex 23 square miles, folks, that's the size of this city in 1932. It took us almost 50 years to get that large. And we're doing it with a plan I have learned was devised in 1970. Zoning issues are being done on a plan that was designed in the 1970s. A plan that's supposed to be our blueprint for retail development, which is where our sales taxes come from, which is where our lifeblood as a city for police and fire comes from. And how many of you are lifelong Tulsans? How many of you have been back here since the 1970s? I have been. What was the reality of retail in the 1970s? It wasn't Home Depot, it wasn't Lowe's, it wasn't Walmart. It was Frug's, it was C.R. Anthony's, it was Otasco, it was TGNY. Where are they? They're gone, we got a new reality, why can't we have a new plan? It just makes sense. Yeah. We need to have a higher and healthier turnover on our authorities, boards, and commissions. I know you guys don't know a lot about this. I didn't know a lot about it. I know I'm running long. They're making fun of me. But this is critical. We need to have more turnover on that. We put a lot of power in these authorities, boards, and commissions. Some of them are public trusts. We've turned the power of government over to these public trusts, and they are independent and not answerable to us except when we make those appointments of those people. We need to make sure there are no conflicts of interests. We need to make sure that you come in and you do your public service, you do it for a period of time, and then you move on. Thank you very much. And this is where my personal politics comes into. We need to stop considering new tax hikes to finish what hasn't even really begun yet. When you hear Mr. Poe talk about taking advantage of the momentum that came from Vision 2025, that's a buzzword, folks. What's Mr. Poe saying? He's saying, we got more taxes for you. Let's see a little bit of what we're already spending before you come to us for more. I'm going to do another public forum at some point, but I want to say what some of Tulsa's strengths are, because I love this city. I've lived here virtually my whole life, and I don't want to live anywhere else. One of our strengths is the fact that we have more churches in Tulsa than we have Starbucks. That isn't a weakness, it's a strength, and by churches, I don't mean the fried chicken restaurant. We are a community, as Councillor Turner has said, of neighborhoods, strong neighborhoods, where your neighbor is willing to pick up your mail and your newspaper for you when you're out of town. That is, if you still take a newspaper. Neighbors where you look out for each other's kids and each other's property. I'm going to shut it down here and go back to that first question I said. Can you believe it? Can you believe that we can build a new Tulsa? Yeah. A stronger Tulsa, a better Tulsa, in an environment of honest debate and discussion. Can you believe that we can stand together, those of us who believe reasonable change is needed, that we can do it, we can stand together and bring about change without hatred and hateful rhetoric? Can you believe that the will of the people will win out and that our elections will be respected, including Vision 2025?
No!
And that we'll end the intimidation tactics and act on the words that we pronounce. Not just talk about it, actually do it. Can you believe that Tulsa can become, if not America's most beautiful city, America's most livable city? Yeah. I'm glad to hear that, because I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart. I got a lot of phone calls, a lot of people supporting me, and one of them was from a very dear friend of mine, State Representative Pam Peterson, who's going to kill me for bringing her name up. But she did call and said she had to be in Oklahoma City, but wanted to know that I was in her prayers and in her thoughts while we were here tonight. And as we talked about a lot of what we were going through, and she was supporting me as a friend, she said, Chris, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go pick up your Bible. I want you to turn it to the Psalms. She goes, I can't remember, it's in the late 20s, early 30s. Somewhere in there, but it's the Psalms of David about him being persecuted. And read the Psalms to give you strength. And so I did it. And we've been saying, each of us, one of the other things that unites the Gang of Five is we each feel a calling to be here. And we have felt the hand of God in this so many times, we cannot begin to tell you. So I opened up my Bible, flipped to the Psalms, and there I popped up, and the first one I looked down at was Psalms 26, and I want to share it with you because it is so fitting. Psalm 26, which is the Psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. We will not slide. Thank you for coming.